1 inch. This was a tree that was probably, the tree service estimated 80 to 100 years old. So while it wasn't a huge trunk, it was good size, big arms and stuff. Anyway, that was the most wonderful teaching for me. And believe me, I was incredibly grateful. That tree warmed our home for about 2 years. The neighbors could not believe it. When the neighbors saw it on our house, they just assumed that we had a caved-in roof, you know, and major damage. And it was quite a time, guys showing up with their chainsaws, and my husband had great fun, you know, sawing that. Do you remember that incident? Yeah, the neighbors on our street said the noise was so loud that they thought it had collapsed the front part of the house. I just find that astounding, you know, that we had nothing happen. Anyway, I love oaks. I just love them. Another time when I'd come over after being gone for a long time, I was driving through 41, the canyon, over to Cambria, or not Cambria, to Morro Bay. And I knew that way well. I'd driven it many times. And I used to always call out a hello to the angel that took care of that canyon and to all the tree spirits, the nature spirits there. This time I was very intent. I was late or something, you know, and I was driving. All of a sudden, this enormous being appeared in front of my car, and a voice called out saying, "Where is the hello? We knew you were coming. We've been waiting to hear from you." And I just burst into tears. It was such a moving experience to have happen, and drove on. But I can promise you that when you make that connection, tree spirits in particular will really let you know. It's quite amazing what they can do and how they can affect you. Well, moving right along here, time is going so fast. I have another Ted Andrews story I want to share. And another, first I'll share this other story of this. I'm not sure where I read this. It might have been in a book that I borrowed from a friend or an article. But there was a woman who was very much, I think, into corporate America. She had a wonderful job, high paying, but she was not happy there, and she'd been playing with the idea of changing positions. One day she went out to a park or a field or something where there were a lot of trees, and it was a wonderful wild place, and she was enjoying it. And, you know, what can I do to earn my living? I'm not going to do this anymore. And she began looking around her, just looking at nature and how beautiful it was, and in her mind saying things like, "I'm so peaceful here. This is what I would love, to be working with trees and people who understand ecology and all of that kind of thing." And suddenly she heard a voice, or a group of voice, calling to her saying, "Help us, help us." And she was so moved that she burst into tears. And she sat down on the ground and just sensed into what that was for her. And I remember reading something like her whole body felt like it was electrified. And she got a very clear message that that was what she was going to do. She would move into some kind of an ecological work. Well, not too much later, she discovered that that particular area was going to be bulldozed for some kind of a new whatever. And the message that she had gotten was really an outpouring from the nature spirits in the area, who realized they had a conscious human, and maybe this human could assist them. And that's exactly what she did. And she went to work for a company that preserves wild areas, finds the funding, writes grants, all that kind of thing. So that's just one of many kinds of things that are happening, I think, across the planet now. The Ted Andrews story that I want to share with you happened to him personally when he was a little boy. He recently did a class down in Southern California on nature spirits, and I was supposed to attend that weekend but was prevented by other things that happened, so I'm sure he probably shared this. When he was a young boy, he used to walk to school, and he would pass through kind of a wild area on his way to school every morning and afternoon. And there were a nice grove of trees, you know, birches and, I don't know, all kinds of different trees. And he loved going through there. And he eventually met a young girl about his age that sort of met up with him as he was going through this woods. And he would ask her where she lived, and she said, "Oh, around here." And, "Well, are you going to school? I don't know you." And she said, "No, I just live around here." And, okay, and you know, he would go on to school. She eventually would show up, and she had a little pet squirrel that was with her all the time. And he got very used to this young girl showing up and walking with him. One day as he was coming back from school, I think, he saw her kind of hanging back, and she was crying, and the squirrel was not with her. And he went up to her and he said, "What's the matter? You know, what are you crying about?" And she said, "Oh, I have to move. I won't be seeing you anymore." And she reached up to him and gave him a kiss, and then she began to walk away from him, and he went on, and he turned around to say goodbye again, and she was just gone. Well, he understands now, from the perspective of a conscious adult, that that was a wood nymph, and that she lived in the woods, and that the squirrel was one of her animal friends, you know, that came to her. And the reason that she had to move was that within a week's time, that whole area was razed, and all the trees were destroyed, and other homes were built there. So stories like this, I think, can help us understand that all around us there is so much life that we're not even conscious of most of the time. And it is there, and we can connect with it. Let's see if I've got anything else I wanted to really share with you. Oh, I might just say some of the best places to connect with nature spirits in general are like the Olympic Rainforest in Washington. When we were up there, it was my first visit a couple of years ago, and you walk into this incredible greenery, is all I can say. It's like a fairyland of green, all shades of green, from pale to brilliant, brilliant green. Mosses, wetness, hanging curtains of moss, all kinds of ferns and trees of all sorts. And it is just covered with nature spirits. They're just everywhere. And I was telling my husband what I was seeing as I was walking along, and he wasn't seeing these things, but he said he really could feel it had such an energy or such a sacred feel to it, and it was so alive. When we began to leave the particular path that we were on, and we were leaving that part of the forest, all these little beings began to pull on me. It's not like they physically pulled on my pant leg or my boot laces or whatever, but on my field, I just could feel them, stay, you know, stay with us, play with us, don't leave. And I was just overwhelmed, and again, the tears. It's such a moving thing to have these living beings who are of another life form trust you to such a degree that they want you to be in their place. It's quite an honor, and I felt very honored by that. You can experience them in places like, gosh, Yosemite, just right up the road here. It's incredibly wonderful. Even though there's a lot of stuff that man has done there, it is still very active with the nature spirits. One of my favorite restaurants is loaded with nature spirits, the Shadowbrook Inn in Capitola. If you ever go to Capitola, you have to go to the Shadowbrook Inn. It's just magical. There are these wonderful gardens all the way down. And at the bottom of this kind of ravine on the river sits the Shadowbrook Inn. And it's magical. It's a great place. Any of our national parks or preserves, any of the animal preserves, wonderful places to go. Each one of these separate families has a presiding being who overlights it and a presiding archangel. I'll just give that to you for information's sake, but I won't go into the specifics tonight because time is just moving on. I want to talk to you about the water spirits, which are a favorite group of mine. The old name for them is the Undines. If you read about the Undines anywhere, that's what they're talking about, is the water spirits. And these beings can exist only permanently in connection with water of some type, a lake, a creek, river, ocean, that kind of thing. There are, again, very many different kinds of them, but the two major kinds are the saltwater kinds and the freshwater kinds. And in the saltwater, excuse me, take a sip of water here. The salt water has three major kinds. The first are the ones that are very easy to contact, and they're just known as water babies. They're about 2 to 3 feet, the ones I've seen. Some of them I've seen maybe even right up around 4 feet. Ooh, somebody's hungry. And they're right at the shore in the breakers or in the surf, you know. They love surfers. Oh, I can't tell you the numbers of stories I've heard where somebody's on a surfboard, and this has happened to my own son, who himself is a surfer, where the board gets tapped, or they feel somebody petting them or touching them or something. They look around, there's nothing there. They love the seals and the sea otters and the other life that comes in close to shore like that, and they will you know, be holding on to them or riding with them. My son has told me several different stories about out of nowhere, he might be relaxing and there's nothing around. It's just him in the water. And all of a sudden, all these seals pop up and he has seen some kind of light nearby or around them, that kind of thing. So Scott is one who's kind of put on the mental shelf a lot of his early experiences, but he still has a lot of those good memories. Anyway, the water babies are very easy to contact. They love humans, and they can come out onto the shore for some ways. They can come out for a while and bless the humans that are there. If they see humans that are depressed, overwhelmed mentally, angry or in a weird, quirky mood or whatever, they will come out of the water and literally infuse their field with their own energy to purify and cleanse and lift them. And one of the nicest experiences I ever had was when my friend Anne in Los Osos, she and I have daughters the same age, and when our girls were about 8 or 9, we took them down to Hazard Canyon, to the beach down there, and the girls were frolicking in the surf while Anne and I were gabbing up a storm, having a good time. And I looked up, and Alina and Kirsten were facing each other, kind of with their arms around each other, dancing in the water, and this wonderful being just rose up and put its arms around the girls. And I was telling Anne what I saw, and it was just the most special thing. And they particularly love children, but anyone who loves their water, anyone who comes to their beaches, they will interact with. So you can see these. They kind of roll in with the surf. If you ever get the impression of a face or somebody kind of surfing in on those waves, you know, that's the water babies. They're very easy to make contact with. If you just let your vision go soft and not so specific, you can very easily see them. Then there are the spirits that are kind of in the middle parts of our ocean, and that's the mer people for the most part. And the mer people are amazingly beautiful. Their bodies are very fluid. They're not as formed as earth nature spirits that you might see. Sometimes you will get an image of the upper part of the body with like flowing seaweedy hair, but not much. It kind of fades out at the end. I know the stories are of tails and things like that, but to be honest, I've never seen one with a tail. They do sing, and you can hear their song. Fairy music in particular is quite, it's very hard to describe. It's very melodious, like silver bells tinkling sometimes, and the merpeople's song is somewhat richer than that, is the best way to describe it, but not like music as we know it or think of it. Mermen are apparently, this is not from my personal knowing, it's something that I researched. They do a lot of work with the mid-depths of the ocean. They help ships, they protect sailors, they bring fish, all those kinds of things. So they're not always or very often on the surface of the water, but they will come up to see what's going on. And that's why I think in the stories and myths, you know, it's mermaids that have been seen or described more often than mermen. There's a wonderful little film that you've probably heard me talk about before, those of you that have heard me talk on the subject, called The Secret of Rowan Inish. I highly recommend it. It's very well done, very magical, about an Irish island and the story of a little girl whose family leaves the island, and about the Selkies in the area, and that is one of the Celtic water beings that takes the form of a seal. And so I highly recommend, rent that movie, don't miss it. It's a lovely, lovely story. And then finally we have the depths of the ocean floors, where only the people who do deep water dives would interact with these beings at all or be able to see them. And the only person I've ever really heard talk about them is Dora Van Gelder. Kuntz is her new name, her last name now. And she says they're like a very dense blue energy, and they have to do with bringing in the great light of the sun down to the depths to enervate or to energize the plants and things on the bottom depths of the ocean, and to bring the great energies of the depths up. So they do a lot of mixing and transforming and transducing of energy, I think. Okay, the freshwater beings, there are lots and lots of them. They're found anywhere that there is water, including a swimming pool. And when we built our swimming pool, I didn't really think about that a whole lot. I knew that the water was living, and there were lots of little beings about that, but I didn't actually think of a water being per se until one day I was feeling quite depressed for some reason. I was real blue or something. Now, water always draws me outside, you know, and I'm not feeling that. I'll get in the water or I'll sit and look at the water, put my feet in the water. And this day I was just kind of walking around the pool and I kept getting this feeling, get in the water, get in the water, but I kept resisting that. All of a sudden, this beautiful being lifted up out of the water and threw her arms around me. And I just can't tell you, I just started to cry. The love, affection, compassion that was there for me. Because they are water beings, they are very emotional, for one thing, and we can really communicate with them through the emotional body. But that was such a blessing for me. And I thought, you've been here all this time, and I didn't even really think about it, you know, at all. And there she was. So, I don't know, maybe you and Josephine bumped into the water spirit the other night.
Full moon swim.
Jenny and Josephine were home at our house when we got back from a family reunion real late last Saturday night, so they hopped in the pool to cool off. It was quite hot. Let's see. I guess the main thing I could say about the water, freshwater spirits are there are the little teeny ones and the great big ones. You'll see the smaller ones around creeks, pools, ponds, waterfalls. They love to ride down waterfalls. If you want to experience these, go to the falls in Yosemite. Bridal Veil is so magical because there are so many of the very ethereal, medium-sized, beautiful feminine water spirits. The bigger falls like the Yosemite Falls, Nevada, and Vernal have a more imposing feel to them. And a lot of crashing around because it's great amounts of water that go over those falls. Rivers are ensouled by a water being, and the very ancient rivers like the Euphrates, the Tigris River, the older rivers, in this country it would be something like the Mississippi, they have a spirit that's as old as their water, and they know that river very well. They love it when the water floods. We humans, you know, get very upset by those things, but they really love it when their water is quite active, or when it's very full and crashing around. The terms Old Man River and things like that, that's kind of where that comes from. They're from a time when we knew that there was an ensouling presence that was in that water. I think I'm going to move along. There's a lot more you could say. Water spirits love children, they love dancing, they love music, and they make their own music. Water itself has its own voice and its own music. And if you listen on that inner level, you can hear that enhanced by these beings. Okay, this is one of my favorite. I guess they're all my favorites, but the sylphs or the spirits of the air are very associated with the mind or intelligence and the intellect. Their basic work, I could say, is to work with the atmosphere that surrounds our planet, but they are builders of the clouds, of the great storms like the tornadoes, typhoons, the hurricanes, great rainstorms. Lightning is ensouled by a type of fire spirit that works with the air spirits. And the work that they do is really wonderful. And here, living on the Central Coast, you get to experience that a lot because you have the breezes from the ocean and the clouds. Because they are more mental or of a higher intelligence than some of the other nature spirits, you can literally send out a thought form to have a cloud become a certain shape. And if you're patient, you know, they will materialize that for you. They're very interested in humans and love their storms and things like that. Let's see. One of the little notes I have here, we took a trip to the Southwest when our kids were growing up in August of all things, and everyone that we talked to said, this is a major mistake. You're going to fry. You know, it's going to be awful. And we were going down through, my husband wanted to see Yuma, so we're going dropping down to Yuma and then up through New Mexico, Arizona, all of that, all the Indian places and things like that. And before we left, I kind of put out the word to these different states, to the beings in those states, that we were coming, and if it was at all possible, could they please bring some cloud cover? And an amazing thing happened. Wherever we drove, through Arizona and New Mexico in particular, We had clouds, but only a few of them, and only where we drove. It got to be a real joke, you know. If we went to some place where it was cooler and then took off the next day and drove for hours, it was, well, when are the clouds coming? And sure enough, they would materialize. So you can work with them in that way. Lately, I've been asking for a cooler summer. The heat's really affecting me for some reason this year. And lo and behold, we had a wonderful long spring that started in February and went all the way to late May, which is unheard of in the Valley, in Clovis and Fresno. We have spring usually February, maybe March, and then it is hot, you know, from then on. And we've only had a few very hot days. So we've even had some rain showers just a couple nights ago. So they cooperate with you when you ask, if it's in divine order and if you ask from a very loving place. These beings, besides being intelligent, are very calm and kindly. They love it when you're outside. If you have a breeze come up and there's no other breezes around, you can know that they're trying to get your attention, especially if it flows around you or you hear it coming and it only comes into your yard, that kind of thing. They really like to get your attention in that way. The work that they do that appears violent to us is cleansing and healing, particularly in the case of typhoons, hurricanes, and tornadoes. People don't like to think about this, I believe, but a tornado, while it appears to be quite destructive, brings a force that pulls people together, that clears out perhaps an area that's been very stagnant and needs to recreate itself. The same can be said of earthquakes in the earth nature spirits and of the great rainstorms and floods. It's a cleansing work and a healing work. It's not a destructive work. That's only our perception that sees it as such. Okay. One thing I might say about the sylphs too, a lot of them are incredibly beautiful, more beautiful than any human that you've ever imagined or seen. And they do aspire to being like the angel that supervises them. And I have read that many of them aspire to be a guardian angel. I don't know that for a fact. That's just an interesting thing that I read somewhere that I thought I would share with you. Time for a break, huh, Janice?
No, it's not the company or the subject.
Let's see. Oh, one of the things I wanted to mention was that sometimes in the ancient times, I think it was the sylphs who were called familiars, and that if you saw them and you could connect with them, you could get them to do things for you or to work a sort of magic for you. And of course, we've all heard of Prospero, who had his familiar named Ariel, and there are other stories like that. It's said that some of them served magicians, things like that. Okay. The final group of these beings is the salamanders, the great fire spirits. And these aren't usually seen by humans unless you are looking at a candle flame or the fireplace or a bonfire or something like that. They have a very unusual appearance, which is like their flame. Some people have described them as lizard-like. They look like big beetles, very dark looking and shiny and kind of beetle-like exterior. Myself, I've mainly had when I've seen them in the candle flame, it's mainly a very shiny being that has a lot of points or flashes coming off of it. I haven't seen any of the great spirits in the volcanoes. I've never been fortunate enough to be in an area where there was a volcano that you could observe erupting, but it's frequently seen in Hawaii, and of course Pele is the great fire goddess that is on that chain of islands and working creatively there. But I think some of these silly pictures that you know are on the front of these tabloids, devil's picture seen in volcano, I think if it's a true image, it's more a fire spirit image, a great salamander that they may have seen, and then they've created a picture that resembles what they experienced. And they do look fierce. They do look stern. The work that they're doing is incredibly difficult. It is, it is creating new earth, basically. It's very potent and very forceful. One of the interesting things about fire spirits is that they're very connected to music. and I'm not sure why. And to people who have high motivation for creativity, like I mentioned about Ginny, it is said that the great composers who wrote nonstop had a fire spirit that were working with them. To me, that would mean someone like Handel, who wrote The Messiah in a sitting of many, many hours, and reported seeing and hearing angels while he was composing, and Mozart. Certainly Wagner, who has, you know, fire music, literally, and the Rite of the Valkyries and his ring music. It is fire spirit music. It is powerful. And if you go to any of the operas where his music is played, you know, in the Wagnerian operas, you are moved by that. You are either overwhelmed or deeply moved or energized. They are a very vital force. So other nature spirits do not at all see fire beings as evil or as destructive, as a lot of humanity does, but they see them as incredibly vibrant and very heightened in their activity, very stirring. I have one story that I can share with you about a man who saw a fire spirit. He did not know what he saw at the time, but my husband recognized this because of me and my talk. He was reading a novel by the author, the man whose book, A River Runs Through It, was made into that wonderful film about that family. And he wrote another book about his work with being a volunteer fireman up in Montana. And he told about a time when the fire was incredibly intense, and instead of going the way they thought it was going to go, it turned on them and lives were lost. And this man himself was caught up in a firestorm, and he knew that in just a few minutes he was going to be dead. And at this point, he tells you that he suddenly beheld beside him a being that was as tall as he was, but was very black and rather gruesome to look at. And at this point, Bert goes, "Lil, you have to hear this story. You know, you've got to hear this." And sure enough, as I listened to the story, what he was describing accurately was a fire being. The thing that I found so interesting was this being knew that this man was doing a good work, not only talking about forests and how to preserve them and all of that and working to that end, but he was writing about it. He's apparently written a lot of ecological kinds of work. This being showed up beside him, and he first thought it was a burned human being because it looked so frightening to him and so unusual. Very shiny and very black and sharp and all of that. But he said he felt rather than heard the being say, "I will not leave your side. You know, follow me. I will guide you out." And somehow this being cleared the wall of fire and walked the man out to a certain area where he could breathe again and be safe, and then the being disappeared. So to me, that's an utterly remarkable story. And the man, unless someone has told him, probably does not know what that was, but I'm certain it was a fire being who knew, a salamander, who knew that the work that he was doing was very good. Fire beings really are something you can create. When you strike a match, when you light a candle, when you turn on the gas flame, you are bringing those beings to life. That is one form of true life form creation that we do when we light our fireplace or our stove or a candle in our homes. The other interesting thing about fire beings is that they do work with the kundalini energy within each person. So when you have a human being whose kundalini is rising up, because that is a type of fire, the way it is experienced through the shushumna, or the spinal canal, in the human body, it often manifests itself as a very hot heat that goes up through the sacred centers and then resides or returns back down if it doesn't stay up. You have the fire beings working with you, and you can ask them to assist and to modulate that hot, intense heat. Women going through menopause who are having a lot of hot flashes, I really believe are women who probably haven't recognized or allowed the kundalini to rise up throughout their lives until that time when it does rise up, whether you want it to or not, in both men and women as you reach the late 40s and into your 50s. And it is interpreted as a hot flash, but it's really that powerful life force surging up the shushumna. And you can ask for the assistance of a fire being to help that, or to bring in a breeze, bring in an air spirit to cool you or whatever. There's so much that these wonderful beings can assist us with, and there's so much good work that we do, or that they do, that we're so unaware of yet. But it's very exciting to me that people like Michelle Smallwright, myself and others, Jenny, you know, and other people that I know, are really working with these and with the animal families on the planet too, in a cooperative way. To me, that's the most exciting thing, and it will give back to us a part of our lives that we've really put away for such a really long time. I've got a couple of handouts for you. First one, and then I want to take time for questions or remarks if you guys have anything you'd like to share. This is just a little sheet to give you an idea of what you can be aware of when fairies are around or other nature spirits. And I'll wait till everybody's got one, but I've probably talked about most of these things. Oh, I didn't mention about time. That's a real interesting one. So I've already mentioned the first one. Whenever you feel that something tiny is kind of tickling you or touching you or whatever, brushing your skin, or it can be as light as touching the hairs on your arm. That's how subtle their touch can be. You know that they're near. If you're outside and there's not a breath of wind, but your trees suddenly have a spot in them that begins to move, the leaves begin to flutter, they're just drawing your attention. That happens all the time in my yard. In fact, my husband has even commented on it. It's how odd that is. There's no wind, but look at those leaves over there dancing. So it's kind of exciting to me that he even noticed that. I get very happy when that happens. The other one that's really common is when there literally is no wind, but suddenly there's a little breeze that's right where you are. One time I was sweeping my patio, and I was doing such a good job. I had those leaves all piled up. Everything was just right, and out of nowhere comes this little playful breeze that just blew them all over, and then it whirled all around me, and then it was gone. Everything else was very still, and I had to laugh. You know, they really want to get your attention and be playful, or they're happy that you've come out. You know, you're out instead of being in your house or in your office or whatever it is. Whirlwinds and dust devils are evidence of the sky people or the wind fairies, wind beings. Sky people active in that way. If you're near water and it's very still, like a person's pool in their backyard or a little pond, a small lake or something, and suddenly where you are, the water begins to move. Or another thing that I've seen happen is you're sitting by a little lake and there is no lapping, and all of a sudden where you are, there's lapping water. But it's not happening anyplace else. Well, those are the water spirits letting you know that they're there. And I've mentioned the business about things getting disappeared and reappearing in your home. Sometimes things will get rearranged. Yes? What was that? That's okay. Have you had an experience with that, Nan?
I was snoring.
Oh, I didn't even notice. Oh, I'm glad you've been able to be so relaxed after all that driving and everything today. No problem. Oh, let's see. I didn't hear a sound.
I heard me, and then I looked
at
my face, and I knew.
Nan had a very long, busy day today, so it's quite something for her to be here tonight. This is one I love. When you're out in nature and birds or butterflies or any other creature approaches you completely unafraid. Jenny's had the experience of butterflies landing on her, as have I, and I'm sure some of you have as well. One time my husband and I went to Yosemite, and the water was running, so you couldn't really, it was very hot, heavy and full. You couldn't really get in the water or get to the falls very easily, but we had a river picnic. We just were up on some rocks and sitting there, and before I knew it, I was just in awe of all the beauty around me. This beautiful little bird, I forgot what bird it was now, but it was one of the finches or something, landed on my foot and just began to sing and sing and sing, and my husband was absolutely mesmerized. I was talking to this bird, and pretty soon he hopped over, and Bert had big lug boots on, you know, and he sat on Bert's boot and sang. So we had our picnic laid out, so I said, well, why don't we share with, you know, everybody else that's here? Would that be okay if you? And Bert goes, Okay. So I gave him a little piece of bread, and I'm not kidding you, the bird literally would walk up your leg and almost take it from your hand. This is a wild bird. Pretty soon, he flew off across the river, and I thought, oh, that was delightful, but now he's gone. And some squirrels came around. But before we knew it, this bird came back with his lady friend and their babies. It was wonderful. The parents sat right at my feet, and the babies, you know, were kind of, they'd been taught by mom and dad, you got to be careful of these human people, probably. But before long, the babies came out of the branches, and they too were right at our feet. It was the most delightful picnic. So things like that. One time I was walking, and I've had two experiences with coyotes and rattlesnakes. I came upon a rattlesnake who was sunning himself, beautiful snake. When I was younger, I was much frightened of them because I didn't know all the good that they did and all that kind of thing, and the power that they hold. Anyway, this rattlesnake was coiled in the middle of my pathway, and I just stayed very still. It didn't put its rattles up, but I spoke to the snake internally, interiorly, and greeted it. I told it what a handsome, wonderful snake it was, you know, and that I was wanting to pass through and that I was not intending to harm it. I was just on a walk, and if he would please let me pass. And I just waited then to see what would happen. The snake uncoiled and moved to one side and sat there for a while, but I was still pretty fearful, so I didn't move. I stayed still. He moved off a little further, and then that felt fine, so I walked on by. Another time, I think I was up in, Wawona. Wawona is a great place for coyotes and deer and things. And came across some coyotes who were hunting, and again right in my path, and just talking to them, they quickly moved on, but then stopped to watch this weird person walking by. Last summer, I spent a weekend at a wonderful retreat on Big Sur, a Benedictine monastery that's up there, not very well known, and I had foxes. I was just in awe. These foxes. I was sitting on this bench meditating. Came right out of the bush, came right up to me, and I mean, they were just the handsomest, most beautiful little foxes. I thought I was imagining things, because foxes are known to be, you know, very, very wary of people, very shy. Right there, the lady friend and the male, and they walked all around. And so my friend Ann and I were up there. You know Ann, I think, too, don't you, Jenny? Okay, so we had two little rooms next to each other. These are very primitive accommodations, and that night we were sitting out in Ann's little dirt yard, and who should come back but the male fox up on the fence. And he just looked at us, and we greeted him, and he walked on. Later that night, when I went back to my room, he brought his babies in. The female, the male. I wish I'd remembered to bring these. I asked him if I could take pictures. I was sitting outside, and they all came in and sat and stared at me in one corner of this little dirt courtyard that you have. And I quietly got up and went in the house and got my camera and came back in the room, came back and sat on the step with my camera, and I told them what was going to happen, that there would be a bright flash, but nobody would believe me, and I would love a picture. And the male came right like this, right up to me, I mean like a foot. So I took the camera, snap, didn't even startle him. I thought, well, that'll be it, he's off, you know. So I'm telling you, these kinds of experiences with animals happen when you are connected in this way. And when you hear the stories of St. Francis of Assisi, if these kinds of things can happen with me, you can imagine. St. Francis lived in a world that was only full of love, never any discord in his inner life to speak of, especially once he moved into that, what I think of as that sainted consciousness. So everything trusted him, anywhere he walked. Anyway, this is an experience that you are in store for when you begin this kind of connection. The best times to connect, of course, they love the early day and the late day, and they love midday. And the Catholic Church seems to know something about this, because I've noticed that a lot of their prayers are at morning, noon, and night. The Angelus has said, you know, at noon, prayers to Mary at certain times during the day. The office for those who are in a specific religious order is said in very early morning, at noon, and at dusk. So there's some magical thing going on in that regard. The solstices and equinoxes, of course, are the other times, particularly the winter. I always get this mixed up. Is it equinox or solstice? Equinox. Winter equinox. Okay. That is a thing I talk about when I do a Christmas class, and the work that's done then, and the excitement in the nature kingdom and all of that. It's just a wonderful time. And then there's a list of different places you can connect with them, many of these things we've already talked about. But I just want to encourage you to play with this. Have a light heart. Don't think of it too much. Just play with it and do it. Janice and I were talking on the phone the other day, and I heard her say, "Oh, Lil, there's a heron in the top of one of my oaks." And my spirit just immediately went right to your place, and I had a wonderful image of that heron. This is a partial book list. I haven't updated this in a few months, so I think there are probably more wonderful books, because more is being written about this now, that are out there. Let me see if I've got the one on here I was mentioning. Oh, yes, down toward the bottom, Michelle Smallwright. And her Paralander Garden Workbook is the book. That's truly wonderful, too. So, do you have any of you got any stories yourselves in your own life experience that you'd like to share with the others? Anything that's happened to you in this connection or to someone? Oh, yes, Jenny, share your story. Oh, no, leave it open. That feels wonderful. I love it. It's like kissing, little kisses on my back. Goddesses of the West, yes. Of the Central Coast.
Wild and wonderful, but anyway, we did a lot of healing and working with each other and psychic stuff. And, we were down at the creek, and one friend of mine was doing an angel drawing with another friend, and so I went off and just sat by the creek. And I had my watercolors with me, so I thought, well, I'll paint something. So I just started looking around for a sign or something to paint, and so there's this rock with this plant growing out of it, and so I just kind of started painting the plant and the rock and everything, and all of a sudden I got this image of this face, and so I painted that, and then when I got there, I went, "Well, what's your name?" And I heard a name, and then I thought, well, do you have a message? And then all of a sudden this poem started coming. And so I just, wrote it down as fast as I could. And just what I got, because I was really kind of overextended here, to be mild. So going up in the mountains and stuff was real nurturing and relaxing. So I felt like this was a being speaking to me. It said, "Do not lead yourself astray from Mother Nature and her way. The connection is deep and one so pure. Keep the sacred love of Gaia near. The earth, the wind, the water, the flame. Keep these near with deep acclaim. The healing felt reaches the core of the heart. These feelings within you need never be apart." So it just kind of felt like really being up there in the mountains, by the creek and the rocks and the trees, and it was speaking to me.